Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, kind of a chilly morning. In fact, I'm kept the coat on.
I'm feeling a little bit of a chill, too. Yeah, it's kind of strange.
Yeah, it's a chill in the air. It's the Buckmaster Show, Thursday, the 25th of January, 2024. We're now in our 14th year with the radio project, coming to you from the Bustos Media Campus, and we're in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio on 1030. KVOI, the voice, Tucson's only source for local news and talk, worldwide live listening, and all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. For our telephone interviews, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Without further ado, here is the superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Dr. Trujillo, it seems like every day I pick up the Star, there's like a front page story about Tucson Unified. There's a lot going on, isn't there?
There's a lot going on, and I want to thank Jessica Votipka. I know she's new to the Star, had an opportunity to meet with her, and she's very, very interested in covering the district, and I just want to thank her for making us always a part of her stories and giving us an opportunity to weigh in and obviously answer all her questions.
Let's begin with enrollment. What is the story there?
Well, enrollment, as you did read in the Star, it's not a surprise to anybody that Tucson Unified School District, like every district in Southern Arizona and throughout the metropolitan Phoenix area, we took a hit during COVID. We lost double-digit enrollment at six of our schools. I think originally reported was 12, but there's six. That we have been on the rebound ever since. And I think it sparks a larger conversation about the types of innovation, flexibility, and creativity that it's going to take for us to recapture the students in our attendance boundary. This is an intensely competitive open enrollment environment, and we have to get in that arena and compete.
How is the enrollment right now?
The enrollment right now, of course, we had our 40th day numbers that were presented by our chief financial officer during the budget revision update right before the Christmas break. And the district looks like we're down about 930 students. We've just passed the 100th day of school. Luckily, we have enough in our budget in terms of excess funding from the previous fiscal year where these particular budget, this particular loss of funding because of the enrollment is not going to require any layoffs or anything. We're able to cover the gap. But we don't want to keep doing that year to year.
There is new leadership in the board at Tucson Unified. Dr. Shaw has stepped aside, and there's new leadership.
Yeah, I want to congratulate governing board president, our new governing board president, Natalie Luna Rose. She officially took the gavel at our January 16th governing board meeting, and will be taking on a district in 2024 with a lot of challenges, as we always have challenges. We had a very, very successful 2023. We're looking for even better things in 2024.
Well, one of the highlights of 2023 was the voters saying yes to capital improvements for a Tucson Unified. Now there are some numbers that you can share with our listeners about projects.
Yeah, the governing board approved on at our January 16th governing board meeting, $18 million in capital improvement projects, largely coming from the district's operational capital fund. These are dollars that we receive every year from the state for routine capital projects and expenditures separate from bond projects. Okay. So this is how we spend our capital dollars. We usually receive about $24 million a year. And we always try to bring a package forward representative of the prioritized needs of the district. And you'll see there's a lot of work to be done. We've got some bathroom renovations going on.
High-tech services?
Yeah, we're working on our infrastructure for, again, reinforcing the cybersecurity strength of our district to make sure that we are never again
hacked. After some of those, that was,
yes,
were
absolutely.
Some of the problems.
Those were some of the problems. So you'll see some of those investments.
Mm-hmm. Transportation will get some money.
We will be putting some money into transportation. We want to be modernizing our fleet. And also we want to put some money into purchasing what we call white fleet vehicles. those are the smaller vans and smaller minibuses that are a little bit more agile and easier to deploy to pick up students and to transport some of our smaller sports and performance arts teams.
So some facilities and operational projects then are included here that were really not covered out of that $480 million bond issue that was approved in November.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do we know, have we kind of earmarked some of that bond money yet?
We have. Some of the initial recommendations for capital improvements coming from our capital dollars, those that were targeted towards school safety and infrastructure were moved over to bond projects. I think at Booth Fickett K-8, we had the installment of digital airphones, camera systems that identify guests wanting to come onto the campus that have to ring into the school. That's an example of a project we moved over to the bond. We had some wrought iron fencing at a couple of schools. We were able to pull out of the expenditure of our regular capital dollars and move it over to the bond. So we have been able to earmark some of those dollars pretty early.
Some of the restroom upgrades are 30 years in coming.
30 years in coming. Yeah, we're excited about the work, you know, that we're trying to do to get those high school restrooms. And our kids deserve no better.
Yeah,
than clean, modernized facilities.
The average age in your portfolio of schools, which I always take a stab at this, 78 schools. Did I get that close?
That's correct.
Yeah. 78, the average age, 55 years.
We are one of the oldest school districts. We actually are Arizona's first organized territorial school district from 1867. We have buildings as old as the 1930s when you go to the historic Safford or Sam Hughes. And yeah, the average age of our buildings, we're talking about 55 years, buildings from the mid-60s, the early 70s, a lot of buildings from the 30s, 40s, and 50s. So we are just in very, very old district structurally.
Some of those buildings could qualify for the National Register of Historic Places.
Yeah, definitely when you look at like a Safford or a Mansfeld or a Sam Hughes, we definitely have facilities that could be worthy of that designation.
Another front page story about TUSD agreeing to sell, speaking of old buildings that go back to the early 50s, the headquarters of Tucson Unified School District, which is commonly referred to as 1010 because it's located at 1010 East 10th Street. You've got a move coming up.
We do. And the Robert Morrow Educational Center, more affectionately known throughout Pima County, wherever you are, by those four numbers, 1010 1010. 1010, the governing board did take action on January 16th to enter into a purchase sale agreement with the vendor, I believe it's UpCampus, for the sale of 1010, while at the same time approving a purchase sale agreement to enter into a purchase agreement with the University of Arizona to acquire what was the former TEP executive building over on 6th and St. Mary's, right there by the freeway, and our very own Davis Magnet School is pretty close by. Right now it serves as the university service annex building for U of A, so we're certainly looking forward to this purchase. Everybody wins. We certainly know of the cash woes being experienced by the University of Arizona. They can certainly use the revenue.
Yes, sir.
And we have been in dire need of a new building for the district office. The current district office, it was built in 1952. It has numerous issues structurally. We don't have air conditioning there. We don't have heating there.
What?
We have a $900,000 repair bill on the elevator. It would cost millions more dollars to keep 1010 up and running than it would be just to sell it and get a new building, because we would prefer to put those dollars into schools. Mm-hmm. Instead of pouring millions of dollars into this old building.
The deal has to be approved, correct?
Yes. So the University of Arizona aspect of this real estate package, that is subject to approval by the Arizona Board of Regents. That's on tap for their February meeting.
Okay. Pause right here with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo and talk about our favorite bakery. Right about now, you could use some comfort food, couldn't you, Dr. Trujillo?
Sign me up for that blueberry crinkle, of course.
Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. And Steve and the team, they do have the liquor license, and so they are moving forward. The wine rack is in. The champagne will be flowing with the mimosas, the champagne and orange juice for breakfast. Not sure if they're ready to launch that this weekend, but it is imminent. Steve said he would send me an email when they get the final go-ahead, but they're about ready, so that's a big development up at Mona's Danish Bakery. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com, open every day. Oh, closed Monday, but every other day besides Monday, 6:30 in the morning, and they are serving lunch right now. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Whether you've considered an all-inclusive luxury cruise, an expedition adventure, or a relaxing river cruise, come to Bon Voyage Travel's annual showcase on March 3rd at the Hilton El Conquistador. Presentations will be offered throughout the day to provide you a chance to hear more about these travel brands and their exciting offers. Bill Buckmaster and I will be teaming up to present the travel trends of 2024. Visit bvtravel.com for more information on Bon Voyage Travel's free showcase on March 3rd.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Going to talk a little bit about Green Things before we continue on with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Green Things, they're happy that we had a lot of rain. I think I'm happy because I know that the gardener or the plants are happy. There's something about nature's watering of the plants that seems so much more, I don't know, more effective than with the garden hose. I don't know what it is, but the plants certainly look happy. Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Their website, greenthingsaz.com. Their sister business is zocalovillage.com for all that wonderful pottery. Beautiful items from Mexico and as far away as the island of Crete. All right. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, superintendent at Tucson Unified. A lot of news to unpack. TUSD wants to keep learning recovery specialists. Who are we talking about here?
Well, we know that the district has received millions of dollars through the American Recovery Plan throughout the pandemic to make sure that we could minimize the devastating impact of learning loss for kids that experienced learning loss throughout the pandemic as a result of online learning or not being as engaged in online learning. Well, unfortunately, those funds are going to sunset as of June 30th this school year, at the end of this school year. So we have about $15 million in positions that we funded throughout the era of receiving these dollars through the American Rescue Plan, known as ESSER, the Elementary and Secondary School Economic Recovery Fund. Of all of these positions, there were three that really stood out because we did a comprehensive study on these positions and their impact to student achievement. Which of these positions had the greatest impact of on student achievement in terms of increasing student proficiency and test scores on the Arizona State Academic Skills Assessment, the new state assessment in reading and math? There were three positions. The response to intervention position that works inside of high schools and works with students in small groups and individually that are struggling with math as well as English language arts, and reading and math interventionists for elementary schools, targeting the K-4, K-5 population and providing intense literacy and reading instruction and math instruction one-on-one or with small groups with our youngest learners. When we did this study, we found that the students that had the lowest proficiency rates, okay, mm-hmm, the ones right. that were at the lowest skill level that had these intervention teachers showed the highest gains and the highest improvements on scores on the Arizona Academic Skills Assessment. So for us, we are targeting these positions to cover with other funds that we have in the district budget to keep them deployed in classrooms throughout the district.
We're talking about 100 people.
Yes, we are. We're talking yeah. about a price tag.
But you want to keep these people.
We have to keep them because they have shown a great impact on kids. They are teachers. They are inside of our classrooms. This is why we are here, Bill. Mm-hmm. We are here to make decisions in the best interest of students and to always identify what's working and to work hard to keep it funded and to try to expand it. So that's what will be taken up on January 30th. We do have a funding package. We went into areas of our budget and we said, okay, where can we carve out $2.5 million to keep these teachers deployed? We're going to be presenting that package to the governing board for their consideration on Tuesday night.
Superintendent Horn, who heads up the Arizona Department of Education, he is the elected official, I guess you could call him the highest elected official in Arizona dealing with education. He's always had, if you will, a special interest in what goes on at Tucson Unified. Now he's looking at your Holocaust history program.
Yes, this is the second term for Superintendent Horn, and the Tucson Unified School District and Superintendent Horn have always had a special relationship, and I'm not talking about the kind of special relationship we enjoy with the UK, right? So we'll just leave it there. But Superintendent Horn, he has mandated that every school district in the state submit to his office what the district is doing to teach students about the Holocaust. What is our Holocaust education program? I think somebody probably should have told Tom Horn that he didn't have to give this mandate because the Arizona State Social Studies standards require that you teach about the Holocaust in World War II in 7th and 8th grade world history and then in 10th grade world history. But okay.
It's part of the curriculum.
It is part of the mandatory curriculum in the state of Arizona. But, you know, we answered and we want a professional relationship with ADE. Mm-hmm. We not only teach Holocaust education and World War II, not only American involvement in World War II, but Nazism and the rise and the fall of Nazi Germany, as well as the Empire of Japan. We also teach about the Holocaust from the human perspective in our English language arts program. We still teach The Diary of Anne Frank. We still teach Night by Elie Wiesel. You can look at our titles in 9 through 12 English language arts and in 6 through 8 middle school, and you will find at least one title that deals with perspectives, Jewish perspectives, victim perspectives on the Holocaust. So we submitted that book list to Superintendent Horn's office in compliance with the mandate, but it really is an unnecessary mandate because mm-hmm. we have state standards that actually require the teaching of the Holocaust.
What about free lunch for every student at Tucson Unified? Is that on the horizon?
It is. We're very excited that on January 30th, we're going to be breaking the good news to the community. The Tucson Unified School District, just like every one of our Southern Arizona traditional public school districts, and many charters participate as well, we are a part of a federal program known as the National School Lunch Program, where students that are eligible for free and reduced lunch eat for free, and the district receives reimbursements to help us cover the costs of dairy and food and fruits through the reimbursements that we receive. Now, currently, if you're a student or a family that doesn't qualify for free and reduced lunch, you still have to pay the good old-fashioned lunch cost, right? Mm-hmm. You have to have your lunch money, mm-hmm. and you have to pay mm-hmm. in the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. Well, the good news is the district has crossed a percentage threshold of the overall percentage of our 39,000 students that meet the guidelines for free and reduced lunch, to the extent that now the entire district will be able to eat for free. Hmm. This is called the community eligibility provision. When a certain percentage of your student body does qualify for free and reduced lunch, your entire district eats for free. We have now crossed that threshold, so we'll be talking about what that means for the district on January 30th. So that is great news for the families of our district that still struggle, you know, to put together $2-3 every single day.
Yes.
You know, to try to eat, you know, because we do have a working middle class that still struggle with wages. They're technically not defined as poor, but it's a paycheck to paycheck struggle for a lot of our families that even though they're paycheck to paycheck, they still make too much money mm-hmm. to be able to qualify for free and reduced lunch. So this is good news for those
folks.
And
you still want these students for nutritional value to stay on campus rather than to go off campus.
Absolutely. I don't have to tell our listeners about the extensive research out there about the correlation between good nutrition and having 3 solid meals a day and better learning outcomes and better focus on our students. So that's a big one for us. We want our students well-nourished, well-fed. This is a big victory for us in our fight against food insecurity. But then also, the more kids that eat, the more revenue we bring in. So the more jobs that we can create for our local economy, the more food service workers we can hire to work in our cafeterias. It also means more diversity in options on the menu. The more revenue that we bring in, the more creative that we can be with the menu, the more options that we can provide our kids. We know that we compete with the bag of Doritos or the bottle of Mountain Dew that a lot of our teenagers opt uh-huh, for when they're uh-huh. walking by the Circle K or the
sure.
Quick Trip.
Right.
We're in that competition. So mm-hmm. the more revenue that we bring in, the more creative we can be in our menu and entice kids to eat in your cafeteria.
TUSD has a large payroll. I believe you have 8,000 full and part-time employees.
We have
when
you fold in the
everybody.
When you fold in the part-timers, we're well above 8,000. Yeah, we're the region's third largest employer. And I think what people don't understand about a school district, you and I just had this great mm-hmm, conversation mm-hmm. at the break, you're an organization, you know, whether you want to recognize that or not. Yes, the biggest part of your operation is teaching and learning, and you think about teacher salaries, but we've got bus drivers, we've got HVAC techs on heating and cooling systems.
Yeah, say the plumbing goes
plumbers,
down.
Plumbers, electricians, and they're all in-house. Yeah. We've got our tradespersons, we've got our paraprofessionals, we've got cafeteria workers and food service. And
so you hire a lot of people.
We do.
Town.
And we are committed to making sure that they have a world-class working experience for us and that they've got great compensation. And that's not always easy.
How about the drivers? There was a point there where you needed some more drivers. You even helped them get their driver's license for the buses.
Yeah, no, thanks to our governing board raising that wage, we are right now at our goal of 200 drivers. And that's great news for our families that a couple of years ago when we were going through the crisis with a driver shortage, we had to cut out a lot of those neighborhood stops where families were used to seeing a bus stop right across the street. Mm-hmm. We're now able to put those back. So we're looking forward to a 24-25 that's going to see a return of significantly more bus stops so that our families don't have to travel far to a transportation hub or a bus stop.
How much do they make? Do you have any idea?
$18.25.
$18.25 an hour.
Still the highest paid in Pima County.
And do they work, how many hours do you think?
It's pretty much a full-time gig because,
wow,
you know, you've got your morning pickup.
Yeah.
And that takes several hours, you know. You get through the morning pickup, that's about two
then
or three hours.
Then you get
hours.
A break, and
then you get a break,
time,
and it's time to pick
you're
up.
You're back in your vehicle
you're
and ready.
Yep, and then you've got to prep. You got to clean your vehicle out. You got to prep your vehicle for the next run. So what we're working on now is trying to find summer work opportunities for our drivers mm-hmm. so they don't lose out on income.
Excellent. All right, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, thank you for the update. A lot to unpack today, and I think we covered a lot of ground. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill, and Happy New Year to you. Didn't
thank
get a chance
you.
To wish
this
you.
This first time yeah. we've talked since the New Year. And what about the rodeo days? That's going to be the holiday?
Rodeo break coming at us. We always observe the four-day weekend, so we're looking forward to some rest here at the end of the month.
All right, back after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. Tomorrow we'll talk with the police chief Chad Kazmar will be our Friday focus interview on the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. 2023 marked the 47th annual Southwest Books of the Year competition. It's presented by the Pima County Public Library. Southwest Books of the Year features titles published in the calendar year 2023 that are about the Southwest, subjects or are set in the Southwest. It includes fiction and nonfiction titles, as well as a selection of books for kids. The competition is made possible by a grant from the Friends of the Pima County Public Library and by the Arizona State Library Archives and Public Records. Books selected by two or more of the team of reviewers become a top pick. This year there are a dozen top picks. We're going to talk about some of those top picks with Gregory McNamee, journalist, writer, editor, photographer, and he is the author of 8 books, including Tortillas, Tiswin, and T-Bones, A Food History of the Southwest, and Gila, The Life and Death of an American River. Greg McNamee is also editor of Zocalo, an arts and culture magazine covering Tucson and Southern Arizona. He is operator of Sonora Word Works, an editorial and publishing service. He's also, along with Bruce Dingus, one of our quarterly contributors to the Buckmaster Show under our category, What Are You Reading These Days? But right now we're going to talk about Southwest Books of the Year. Greg, how are you?
Well, hi, Bill. Very nice to be here. I'm going to survive it. Thank you. Down with little bugs.
So, yeah, you had a little bug, and I called upon you to do the interview on the phone, and you're a real trooper for doing so. Greg, let me ask you, as I mentioned in the intro, a top pick and a pick, what's the difference there?
Well, we have 7 members of our committee will each of us go out and we'll look for books that are germane to the point of Southwest Books of the Year that fit the category somehow. And occasionally we'll find books that we just, one person loves, but another person loves just as much. And so that elevates it to a top pick. And rarely, but occasionally does it occur where we it never comes to blows or dueling pistols or anything like that. But we sometimes have to do some horse trading to say, okay, I really love this book. I want to write it up. I want to be the one who does the review. And so we do a little trading back and forth. As you said, we have 35 adult picks this year, which is a high number for us. Mm-hmm. And of those, 12 of them are top picks, meaning they are elevated or named by more than one of our judges.
All right. I was going to say before we get into some of, I think we're going to try to cover 10 of the of 12. Overall, do you have any idea how many books were submitted for the 2023 competition?
I don't have a firm number on that, Bill, but I'm going to say probably somewhere in the vicinity of, let's say 200, just to make a nice round number.
Okay. Let's begin with some of the top picks. And I love the work of writer Tom Zollner, an Arizona guy, Tucson guy, and we had him on for actually a whole half hour talking about his book, Rim to River, looking into the heart of Arizona, and I'm not surprised this made the list.
It was a natural, given both Tom Zellner's talent as a writer, but also his very interesting ways of coming about looking at things. This is a book, as many of our listeners will know already, this is a book that involves Tom's walking the 790 miles of the Arizona Trail from the Utah border to the Mexico border, and along the way taking points of the landscape as a kind of a starting point for talking about aspects of Arizona's history Arizona's culture, Arizona's past, its ethnic makeup. The landscape is always a jumble, no matter where you go in Arizona. And similarly, so too is our it seems everything about us. Is just kind of a very strange jumble that we have trouble explaining to people outside of our wonderful state. And so Tom does, I think, a very, very good job of keeping an eye out on the quirkinesses and the corruptions and the many, many, many reasons we have to love this place all at once.
Greg McNamee is with us. We're talking about Southwest Books of the Year, some of the top picks. The Larry McMurtry biography is next.
Yeah, Tracy Doherty, who is a writer in Texas, has clearly been doing his homework for a very long time. He's written about other Western writers, but I really think he came to his fore in this book. Anyone who's been a Tucson bibliophile for any length of time may remember that Larry McMurtry kept a residence here. His script writing partner, Diana Osana, lives here. He had one of his many booked up bookshops over on Stone and Glen in an old Circle K, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lovely little bookshop. When I was a teenager, I used to hang out at his bookshop in downtown Washington, D.C., never imagining that I would be hanging out at his bookshop in Tucson, Arizona, and never imagining that I would be friendly with Larry. But whatever the case, he lived a wonderful bookish kind of, button-down shirt and cowboy boot kind of life.
Mm-hmm.
His own little mix of contradictions, profound intellectual who grew up kind of in the middle of nowhere and made the very best of all of his opportunities and made all of us who paid any attention to him better citizens of the West, I think, simply by recognizing that this may be a land of broken dreams in some ways, but at least we can dream in it.
Larry McMurtry, A Life by Tracy Doherty. Our next book is titled Swim Home to the Vanished.
Yeah. I should mention that both Tracy Doherty and Tom Zellner and the author of this next book, Brendan Shea Basham, will all be at the Southwest, the Tucson Festival of Books. The mm-hmm. second weekend of so Swim Home to the Vanished, that's a book that I picked and then impressed upon Margie Farmer, who is just recently retired from the library as the literary arts librarian. Wonderful book by a young Diné, that is Navajo writer, who lives in Baltimore of all places, and he writes it's a book that's rather hard to describe, only because it steps outside of so many of the kind of genre norms of what we think of what a Diné novel is going to be, which is a wonderful thing, you know, to expand those boundaries. So here's a story of a young man whose brother has drowned, and Navajo people traditionally have very strong proscriptions about water and fish and things like that. And here's this other young Navajo boy who is out there in the oceans looking for his brother, looking for the world. And so it mixes up fantasy. It mixes up traditional Navajo storytelling and myth. It blends magical realism and modern science and ancient wisdom, and it's just a brilliant work. The author, I have no idea how old he is, but I'm going to say no older than probably 35. And this is a book that I think, you know, it reads like a very mature writer's best work.
Greg McNamee with us, one of the reviewers, part of the team that looked at the Southwest Books of the Year competition for 2023. Greg, we're up against the break, but we've got a few books to cover still. Do you want to pick one where you can give me a very short overview here before we take the break?
I think just a wonderful pick for anybody who loves Stephen King. And enchiladas at the same time. We'll love a book by Richard Santos called A Night of Screams, Latino Horror Stories. A wonderful collection of really, really offbeat kind of night gallery, Twilight Zone, scare the stuffing out of you kind of things that you don't want to read in a dark room by yourself.
Greg, stick around. We'll talk about some more of the books, top picks for the Southwest Books of the Year. It's the Buckmaster Show. We will be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, our telephone live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We want to send as many listeners as possible over to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, that is Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. I think you'll be very surprised if you've not been over there. It's really fun town, southwestnewmexico.org, the starting place before you make your approximately 3-hour drive over to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. You'll see all sorts of ideas about outdoor activities and things to do, places to stay, and even great places to eat. We're talking about the top dozen top picks of the Southwest Books of the Year competition, which has been around for almost a half century. It's an enterprise of the Pima County Public Library. Greg McNamee was one of the team of reviewers, and Greg is a writer, journalist, editor, photographer, and publisher. He's also a contributor to the Buckmaster Show on a quarterly basis. Let's talk about Dr. John Schaefer, former president of the University of Arizona, is a terrific photographer, and his photo book made one of his books made the list, right?
It did indeed. And John Schaefer is a magnificent photographer, you might recognize from the fact that the Center for Creative Photography at the university bears his name. It's his creation and justly bears his name. For many years, he's set himself with a pretty complex photographic projects. And this particular one was to at first cultivate a cactus garden of the kind that a botanical garden would be proud to have, and then to photograph the results. So he has about 80 photographs of, it's kind of like a Noah's Ark of cacti flowers. It's the hallmark of a photographer's success, I think, that when you look at an image and you say, oh, I've seen that before, and you look at it and you say, no, I haven't ever really seen that before. You know, I've seen a night blooming series, but never like that, you know, never with that light, never with that delicacy, never with that intensity and all that. So anyone who loves cacti, just go out and get this book, you know, get it for the cacti lover in your family.
And that may be me, Desert Jewels, Cactus Flowers of the Southwest in Mexico. I'm very interested in that book. Melissa Sivanay, her book, Brave the Wild River, the untold story of two women who mapped the botany of the Grand Canyon. This book has been getting a lot of publicity, a lot of national attention, and it has made the top picks of the Southwest Books of the Year.
Yeah, it certainly did. It was very much admired by everyone who read it. Mark Athatakis, one of our committee members, selected it, and I seconded it, but there were even more behind that. Melissa grew up here in Tucson, sort of slowly learned the craft of writing and emerged very strong out of the gate with magazine articles and very interesting essays. And then suddenly from out of the blue came up with this story of two women who in 1938 went down the Colorado River to chronicle the flora of the desert Southwest, which, you know, people are still working on. But back then, it was an unusual for women to be surrounding themselves in the vicinity of flower pots and things like that. But it was really thought to be kind of outre for them to get in a dory and row down the Grand Canyon. And so they defied all expectations. They defied all prejudice. And gave us leaps and bounds of information into the flora and fauna of particularly the Grand Canyon and the Colorado River, which is still unfamiliar territory for a great many of us.
Greg McNamee is with us talking about Southwest Books of the Year. Simon Ortiz, a well-known writer, his book Light as Light makes the list.
Yeah, I mentioned that we had 35 adult picks. We also have 7 children's picks. I must confess, I haven't read a single one of the children's books, but I've read all the other books. Of the 35 adult books that we had, 7 of them are books of poems, which was pretty surprising to me. But the one that we agreed on most strongly as a top pick was by Simon Ortiz, who of course is a very well honored, well known Acoma poet who has taught here at the University of Arizona. He's taught at Arizona State. He's taught at the University of New Mexico. And it just seems as the years roll by that Hidrutai is his, I believe that's correct, is his Acoma name, Simon, in any event. It just seems that he gets better and better and better. He writes about love and loss, and the world is mighty with fear, trouble, heartache, and such, he writes. Just a very offhand, sharp-witted, a delightful way of looking at the world.
How about an official cookbook, Greg McNamee?
Yeah, we've got a wonderful piece. Excuse me while I try to find it in this mess. If you see my, office, Bill, it sort of looks like a bomb went off in here. But
I can imagine.
You and I would probably be surprised. I know I was surprised to know that there is an official Chili Pepper Institute and that there is an official teaching garden. And what? Both of these things are located in Las Cruces, not too terribly far from us. Well, one of our panelists, Jenny Shank, who is a novelist who lives up in Colorado, she traced this down, and there is an official cookbook of the Chili Pepper Institute. I have a copy of it. I've tried a few of the recipes. One of the recipes I tried was the ancho orange hot fudge, which to burn out bronchitis with, I've got to tell you. So,
that's why you're better today than yesterday from the crud. Let's see if we can cover quickly a couple of these other titles. The Deserts of California by, is it Obi Kaufman?
Yeah, I think it's pronounced Obi. Yeah, this is another one of these. It's a very idiosyncratic book, and by idiosyncratic I mean it used to be that when you wrote guidebooks, you know, there was a sort of almost a standard formula for how you depicted plants. You know, it was very lifelike and very realistic, and without much in the way of artistic flourish. And Obi Kaufman says to heck with that. He's got a delightful free hand. Just lush watercolors that just make you want to get in there and look at that landscape. It's all very precise, and the writing is also quite wonderful. Kaufman, very much of an environmentalist, and writing about these desert places with an eye not just to their description but also to their continued protection, you know, to making sure we understand why it is that they're special places and why they merit our concern.
All right, let's talk about The Consequences, Stories by Manuel Munoz.
Yeah, Manuel also will be at the Tucson Festival of Books. I'm very pleased to say he'll be on a panel that I will be moderating, assuming I can speak at that point. Manuel Munoz, on the faculty of the University of Arizona, English department, was just recently awarded what they call the Genius Fellowship from the MacArthur Foundation in recognition of just the utter brilliance of his work. He's a writer who... how to put it? You put him in the middle of a situation with a pencil, and he's going to be one of those people who's very quiet in the corner, making very careful notes, and pretty soon he's going to be spinning literature out of a pencil's worth of observation. In this case, he's writing about the border towns and the agricultural fields of Central California, you know, which is really nobody's idea of a paradise. And, life there is tough, and it gets tougher, and he's right there to describe it. And particularly tough for sensitive young people who don't quite fit in the cultural norms, whether because of genders or what. So anyway, a lovely book, The Consequences, collection of short stories.
All right, we've covered 10 of the top 12 picks. Greg McNamee, thank you very much. Folks can find the entire list, actually all 35 picks, on the Pima County Public Library website. Greg, thank you very much. We'll look forward to your next visit with us in studio.
Thank you, Bill. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you very much. That'll do it. On behalf of Greg McNamee and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our program, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well.